lots of it is really, it's terrible. And we need to hear about good things, Yeshua's, refuahs for everybody. So the best thing to do, and it's very hard in Chutz La'aretz to do anything except to daven. We learn, and we hope that, as we learned from the Arvei Nachal, as you said in the writings of the Tzaddik, the Arvei Nachal that we've spoken about in Pasha Shlach, in all this form, that with every single piece of Torah, we're conquering another piece of Eretz Yisrael. And we're strengthening the hold of the Jewish people over Eretz Yisrael. So, and that's something which the Sfarim HaKadoshim will talk about. So we need to conquer more and more territory and to move through piece by piece with the rest of Klal Yisrael till Eretz Yisrael belongs completely to us and every Jew is safe. So on page Yud Zayin, the Rebbe's been talking about after he discussed the responsibility of the adults to accept the large part of the blame for the inability, it seems, of many of the members of the new generation to receive words of Torah and to continue with the Messiah of Yiddishkeit. So the Rebbe then begins to discuss the change that's taken place in the new generation. We were talking about that a lot last week, the change in the new generation that primarily is the result of this tremendous need of young people to feel a sense of independence. The assumption that the average young person has nowadays, even at the youngest age, that he does not need his parents, he does not need his rebbeim. If anything, they're coming to impose some foreign will upon him, but that he knows what's right, and he knows how to live. And with all of that, the immaturity of youth, and ideas, and emotions that he doesn't have a kalim to deal with, he does not have at all the kalim to deal with, whereas in the past, the Rebbe says, there was the belief that every child had, that he is a completely unripened fruit, that he doesn't really know anything. He's not prepared to deal with certain emotions and certain concepts until later in life. And in this way, he was fertile soil for the sowing, for the planting of the ideas of Torah, of the older generation. And then at a later point, he would begin to explore his own emotional world and seek some independence. But it was with the richness of a life that had been handed down to him from Har Sinai. So on page Yud Zayin, let's continue. Im nachder al teich nefesh hanar. He started this. If we penetrate into the soul of the child, and if in a delicate and truthful way we try to examine the very depths of the children, of the youth, mirror, we will see. Shalpi harov ein hanar sami darkei Hashem bepam echas. But usually the kid doesn't run away from Hashem, doesn't run away from Yiddishkeit all of a sudden in a moment. Usually doesn't happen in such a way. Everything that he's talking about is nowadays is exactly the same. He doesn't leave Yiddishkeit in a moment. It's not like he wakes up one morning, you know, last week. A lot of parents think like this, they can't figure it out. Last week he was Shabbos, Shabbos, this Shabbos is not Shabbos, Shabbos. I don't get it. He doesn't wake up all of a sudden one Shabbos morning, or decide one Friday night, I think I'm going to take, you know, go out with the guys. It doesn't happen all of a sudden that like he has a kashin or a ma. that he never thought of. I never thought of that. I think I'll be Mechal Shabbos. That's not how it works. If any yotzei beis hamedrash l'tatiros lahavdil disaim, and it also doesn't happen in a moment where he decides that he'd rather go to the theater than to beis hamedrash. That doesn't happen in a moment either. Hagemara Omeris, the Gemara says, Kach umanasa shel yetzahara. This is a famous Gemara, and even if you never heard of the Gemara, it's famous. Kach umanasa shel yetzahara. This is the craft. This is the skill of the Yetzahara. Kach umanasa shel yetzahara. Of the evil inclination. Hayayim oimela asay kach, ulamocha asay kach. Today the Yetzahara says, do this, asay kach. Now let's begin with this, and the lomocha, and the next day, I say kach, then do this, the next day do this, meaning tzibislich, slowly. Bashkof rishon miskabel rishon migemara zol shenen maskel miyad by various achamores. The immediate impression we get from that gemara is that the gemara is telling us that he doesn't begin right away with serious aveiros. He doesn't begin, someone that's a child that's raised in an observant home doesn't begin with Chil Shabbos. He doesn't begin, God forbid, Chil Shabbos or, you know, eating on Yom Kippur. He doesn't begin in such a way. Ela b'hadroga, gradually, step by step, holech mehakal ela kaved. He goes from the kal, from a lighter level of disobedience, ela kaved, until it gets worse. Avo b'metzias, but the Rebbe explains, in reality, b'metzias, gam term shabola ma'aseh harishayin ha'kala b'yayaseh, even before he makes that very first step away, before he takes that first step away from Yiddishkeit, even though it might be what appears to be something very subtle. It might be like a little Rama someplace, or a little Sifkat in the Mishnah Brewer. It's nothing major. He's not getting in the car Shabbos. He's not calling on the phone on Shabbos. It can be a subtle thing, a small thing. Gam b'dayto pnima hamash b'leina se pisam v'pamachas. The Rebbe says, because even within himself, the inner crisis of faith doesn't take place suddenly. It doesn't like hit him all of a sudden. Rak lefnei shona o yoser hischila daito lispatzei ma'at. It's gradual. A year or more before you even noticed any change. Before you realize that he's not doing something. He's doing something he shouldn't do. Already the infection, his chiladaita was patseya, from a petza, pitsua, injured, or infection. Already his soul, his mind was already infected. The infection began. It didn't yet surface, just like with illnesses, lo aleinu. You don't necessarily see right away a symptom, lemaisa. You might not even see a subtle symptom, but the infection has already set in. Something's already started. Petza ve'eno petza, kin nega nearly babayis. Like the pasuk says in the Yikra, in the parish of Negaim, of the skin disease, what they call leprosy, where initially it's kin nega. Rak kinega, Chazal explain. Nega ve'ena nega. In the beginning it doesn't look like it. It's only kinega. Maybe ken zayin. It could be. Something is up, it's not right. Something doesn't look right. It's kinega. It's not yet vada. It doesn't have yet a din of a muchlat. It's not certain. But there's already kinega nearly. Something is shtipnish, rightnish. Doesn't go. When I was growing up, if I missed 2 days in a row of minyan, that my father was already a nega tzaraz. It was one day was kinega, and I missed, and my father didn't say anything one day. But 2 days in a row was already, that was already a nega muchlat. It's already a sign. I guess he had a Kabbalah like that. Now a person can go like 3 weeks, he's still okay. But the kid nega. Nega vena nega. From this little nega or kin nega, it's a little subtle change. There is growing, or there's taking place a very subtle shift in the person's way of thinking. A very subtle shift in the child's way of thinking. And in that subtle change in his outlook on Yiddishkeit, in that subtle change, he begins to look at Torah as a dover nivze, something which is batlanis. Rabbis and all the gzeiros and the laws and takanas and what's this whole thing of muktzah anyway? Isn't it enough that I don't turn on a light, or I don't do this or do that? What's this whole Indian that I can't move this, or I can't read this magazine and or look at this book on Shabbat? All these, and they hear something in school. Maybe sure I have this from you. Yeah, it begins to look at Yiddishkeit. He begins to see Torah without the chashivas, without the importance, without the holiness as a child, to see the Torah as something chashiv, and you tell him, here's a story from the Medrash, oh, it's chashiv, it's something special, right? You know, the old-time Jews, even if it's a Yid that's 85 years old, when you tell him a Medrash, that was like the most exciting thing in the world. It didn't have to be like some, that there was an article that somebody wrote for a PhD in Bar Ilan to explain the Medrash. That already made it not interesting. It's the Medrash. Ooh, right? Or you hear, look what David HaMelech did. Just the pshat was exciting. Look what happened with the Yeshua and the Muhammad and the war. This is how the Jews spoke and this is how they lived. Without all the academia. It didn't have to be fancy. It didn't have to be complicated. Just a word of Torah was something like, because in the eyes of the old Jews, it's so holy, it's so precious. Just a good word. It doesn't have to be like nowadays. Even in class, you have to say like the fanciest things and concepts and ideas, and you have to get everybody all riled up and excited. And you have to say something like to shock the kids, to shock the system. Yeah, in the old days, you just have to say Vaydavar Shem Moshe Leim. Ooh, the Baruch Shem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu. Wow. Right? It was a simpleness and a sweetness. And that came with a feeling that everything in Torah is precious, everything is special. But now in the beginning, this is where the subtle shift has started. There's a change that now he looks at the Torah as being like, old-fashioned, the batlanis, and it doesn't thrill him anymore. But as far as the outside world of what? Of foolishness and crassness and coarseness. As far as that's concerned, it's beginning to look a lot better. As something which is beautiful and something which is good. It was always with a Jew. But even though people have a taiva of Yetzirah, but they looked at the things from the outside world. Look, everybody has taivas, everybody has a Yetzirah. But the way that it was looked upon, it was just such narishkeit, such silliness, and such, for what it was. Something which is absolutely ridiculous. But what's changed in this child's way of thinking is that he begins to look at the Torah as something which is silly and meaningless, irrelevant. And he sees the world as becoming more and more relevant. And the outside world, and I don't mean the good things of the world, I mean the things that are crass and that are coarse and that are ugly, he begins to see this as something which is attractive. Kiyofa v'tov. And he gets very upset if a parent criticizes any of those things, or if a Rebbe mocks or makes fun of those things that the child sees in the world as being beautiful and as being important. Gets very upset. Then the smallest problem can set off the infection. The infection that will begin with small violations of halacha, or you might not even see that. It might be just very subtle, something that doesn't even come to the surface. There are thoughts and feelings that are rolling around these things inside of the kid's head. And then all of a sudden, in your way of looking at it, all of a sudden he says, I don't want to keep Shabbos. And the parent, the Rebbe thinks, what happened? I don't know, he's a frum kid. What happened to him? So, yeah, last Shabbos he did keep Shabbos. This Shabbos he's not keeping Shabbos. But that's not something that he all of a sudden decided. It's just you didn't realize it. You didn't know. There are things that are cooking. Things that are cooking for a while. Ki mitzarehi bereshisa. It's tiny in the beginning. It's tiny. Initially, it's tiny. Ve'ino pralos harbe lov amasav. And it doesn't have much of an effect upon him and upon his actions. It doesn't have much of an effect upon what he does. He still goes to shul, and when you look at him, you see he's still shuckling a little bit. He says, "Baruch Hashem, he's still shuckling." And you know, it doesn't have to be something that you see. And a lot of parents and a lot of teachers are comfortable as long as they see that no major change is taking place in the child's behavior. His rebbeim and even his closest friends don't see necessarily at that point any change in who he is and what he's doing. Slowly the infection is deepening, is growing. Until it reaches his flesh. The infection begins in a very slight and perceptible way in the soul, but the infection is growing and growing and spreading from the Shama Ruach Nefesh until finally you haven't seen anything on the child, but eventually the infection reaches the hands, reaches the eyes, reaches the mouth. He doesn't want to go to shul, doesn't want to put on tefillin. His hands are turning the ignition on Shabbos, God forbid. Pisom kol rash nishma. And suddenly a noise is heard, a tumult. V'hine ozav is beis elokim. Everybody is talking that boy or that girl has left the yeshiva, has left shul. The nafal be'ashachas and has fallen into that bottomless dark pit. Rachmon l'shlom, Hashem save him. Al pi rov, usually, in a majority of cases, nega pnimi zeba nefesh, that inner hidden infection begins. Where does it begin? Ba min yeshus visnagdus anis karmel el. Come from yeshus, that sense of self and that feeling of independence and self-importance that we've been discussing until now. And once he has become a yesh bifnei atzmo, he sees himself as being separate, independent, and unique. V'hisnagus, next page, af sinna mivatzvetzes bekirbo negroviv, and there is a hisnagus, an opposition And even a sin, even animosity, a feeling of animosity or hatred, is beginning to blossom within him. Neged Aviv, against his father. Rabbeisav, his teachers, and Mechanchav, his educators. Lo rak negdom nisareus is nagdusa. And it's not only against them that this opposition is arising within him. Rak ela sheyoroso. It's not just against his father personally, or against his Rebbe personally, but against all that they have to say, against all that they're teaching. And if the Rebbe says today is Tuesday, it's Monday. But there's a hisnagdus that's awakening within him. V'alkolis nahagusam darkam der hakodesh. And is against the ways and the behavior of his father and of his teachers. That he begins what? Maschil estakel v'shat nefesh v'sini. He begins to look at with contempt and hatred and hostility. He begins to look at them as being old-fashioned, as being this is silly and a waste of time. And he begins to look upon all that they're doing as being so irrelevant and foreign to him. And the very same actions of a father or of a Rebbe or of a tzaddik that when he was a child caused him to feel more reverence and more awe and more of an excitement about Yiddishkeit, at this point makes him feel further and further away from it. The result of all of this
is
Shemalafonim Kol Madrich Va'av Hayyachol Lachanech is Yalda Yisrael Ulaharosam Derech Hashem. In the earlier times, every madrich, every Mashgiach, every guide, the Av and Father, Hayyachol Lachanech is Yalda Yisrael Ulaharosam Derech Hashem, was able to educate the children and to teach them the way of Hashem. And even if he wasn't a master educator, and the father was not always adept at teaching Alpi Darko, as we learned in the first part of this introduction, you know, each kid according to what that kid needs in his own unique way, even if he wasn't so good at that, even if it was just like a regular old fashioned Rebbe or a parent just said, you know, do this and do that, and he really wasn't so good at giving over Yiddishkeit. As we learned earlier, that you have to teach the Torah according to the way of each child and student, according to his way of thinking and his essence, which is great. That's the way it should be. So in the old days, even if a parent was not able to do that, or he didn't make the effort to do that, he was of the old type, which is not ideal. Margul mitzava. In other words, just do this and do that, and this is how we do things, and that's it. Hayagam kein mo'a. It would also work. That's why so many people are bewildered. How many times people say, "Oh no, my father didn't have to go into this whole psychology with me. This is what we did, you know, and this is how we did it. He told me to do it. I did it." And now everybody has to have all the psychology and have to do this and that, and seminars and lessons and parenting and. So my father told me, put on film. Why was it that it worked then? It did work. Because in those days, the children, the adolescents, they had nefesh nekiya. As a clean slate, a pure soul. There was no infection. They were uninfected. And therefore, it was enough. Well, you see, it wasn't ideal then, it wasn't the best thing, but it was enough. You say, do this. And the child loved Yiddishkeit, and he respected the rebellion, he respected older people, and he was makabel things. Even though he might he might have had some resistance, but generally it was that way of looking at things was quite simple. Well, Shagam hu ba'atzmo bekirba pnimi hirgish reikanuso v'cheshkes baito. The average typical Jewish child in those days within himself felt completely empty, and he felt an intellectual darkness. And there was an inner thirst to hear what his Rebbeim and what his parents had to tell him. There was an inner thirst to hear more, to discover more, to understand more. He felt himself completely, completely ignorant and unworthy. One of the most shocking experiences you could have nowadays, you could have it all the time. You'll talk to somebody, you'll talk to a kid who's like in 8th grade, who can't even read a pasuk in Chumash, and he'll tell you that this is the pshat like this, and this is what Hashem, and this is what... He'll lecture you. And you're listening to this, and you think, this is the most absurd thing I've ever heard in my life. It's the craziest thing in the world. And there's some kid that, like, that even in English never passed the test. And he's telling you stuff that's totally from outer space. But he's saying it with conviction, with sincerity, with a certainty that you or I have never expressed when saying a pasuk in Chumash. And you're listening to this and you say, oh, I can't believe you're saying this. This is the craziest thing I've ever in my life. It's a crazy thing. And you'll hear that, you know, kaseida from children. You hear it from adults, not also. But it began as a child. I'm saying the craziest things. Totally upside down, against everything that makes any sense. Even if I'm not even talking about religious things, avowedly religious things. But even when it comes to machmal, like you talk to them, like you have these people that start saying things like, you know, that are so totally wacky, and with such conviction and certainty. And you sometimes think of telling the person you never would, because it would be painful to say, you're not on a level. You're not entitled to have any opinions of your own. You don't deserve to have any opinions. You're a very sweet guy, but you're just a total numbskull. Why don't you try to think a little bit and learn a little bit and hear what others have to say? Why don't you try to be macabre a little bit? Why don't you try to receive until you begin? No, but now, like the kid is like formulating, he has his theory of life. You talk like a 12-year-old kid. Well, this is how it is, Rabbi. It's like a whole theory of life. And you know, you hear it, it's crazy. And you know that... You know that it's not just trying to say, well, you know, you don't even know where to begin. So, well, maybe we should learn, do you want to learn Derech Hashem or something? Or maybe you want to have a talk? You don't even know where to begin, because it's just overwhelming. It's overwhelming that everything that's coming out of a kid's mouth, and he's a beautiful kid, but everything that's coming out is totally backwards. And you hear this in adults too, because say they're Orthodox people. It's crazy stuff. So what are you going to say? Is that, where'd you get that from? Is that from the Torah? Where'd you get that? How'd you get that idea of Yiddishkeit? Where'd you get that idea of life, Bechlau? Where'd that come from? So we'll say, well, I heard this from a friend of mine. It's like, you know, who's your friend? So there's a chiddush, there's more than one idiot, there's two. So I heard this from someone, like, you know, there was some best-selling book. But this also happens to me, like, I'll talk to somebody, he's saying something wacky. And where'd you get that? So, oh, you didn't hear about this book? Like, you know, some book that's like the New York Times best-selling this, and that, now that he's read, so this is his latest reformulation of life. That was this week's new way of looking at life. And then there'll be another best-seller, another way of looking at life. And you don't even know what to say. It's so backwards, it's so crazy. Yeah, Moshe.
The Rebbe talks about in the Moshe Rabbah that when you go away from the pasuk and it's famous, then you get into a whole Narechet and the Sunach, and we know this exactly the same.
That's the Eitz Hadas Torah. And they think they know everything. This is just the chilek. When the children, the older, it used to be that a child saw himself for what he was, somebody who's totally ignorant. A kid that doesn't know yet and wants to hear and is ready to be macabre and is like a sponge and is ready to receive. And therefore you could meet a child that's brilliant, brilliant, but unbelievably humble and ready to listen. as opposed to a child who was on a much lower level of intelligence, who thinks he knows everything. It's absolutely certain that this is how it is, it's like that, you don't understand, the parents don't know, the Rebbe doesn't realize, the Rebbe doesn't understand, it's snarishkeit, it's what, it's this, that's what the Gemara says. What are they talking about? The rabbis, where's Rebbe Kiva now? Who's Rebbe Yerich, who's Rebbe Shlokish? I never met them. But, I mean, this is all, this is the infection.
Rebbe said the same thing was happening in Israel.
The Rebbe saw the beginning of this. He saw the beginning of this in that time of in Poland before World War II, between the wars. It certainly was a beginning. It was a beginning. It wasn't as widespread as now. But what the Rebbe was saying is that we have to do something different. We have to try something different because of the change that's taken place in the mentality of the children in modern times. We have to work with them, as he's going to explain in a minute. We have to teach differently. We have to try something else. Even if there was a time, let's say he went through a day or two, a period where he wasn't listening, he wasn't interested. He felt within himself that he had sinned. That, in other words, that little time that he did something that was wrong, he felt that it was a terrible sin. That it was terrible. That he did the most terrible thing in the world. It was horrible. And he even understood that the Rebbe or the parent who disciplined him because of what he did wrong or yelled at him or even gave him a patch, even gave him a smack, he felt that he's the tzaddik. He knows that the parent or the Rebbe is right. Even though, you know, I enjoyed my little incursion into an aveira, or that I wasn't learning, I wasn't davening, whatever it was, but he felt that that's wrong, and that the Rebbe and the father or the mother, they were the tzaddikim, and he was the pesheya. But he was the pesheya. Even nowadays, this is a difference that you'll find. You'll find this, it's a subtle difference, and for a long time I was thinking about this. I was in different schools and different camps and different places to understand. It's an interesting thing. If you go to the, even now, to the old school, let's say to a chassidish place, or a real yeshivish type of a chevra. So I saw the same problems that you have in the more modern chevra. The same problems and the same avarice and so on. But it's interesting. In talking to the Hasidic people that were doing things they shouldn't do, generally the response that I got was, Chuntakarusha. You know, I'm a Russia. Like I said this, I told you once that when I was years ago, I was teaching this in a bungalow colony when we first married, and there was this unbelievable kid. This boy that was like learning and everything, and Avedis Hashem was an unbelievable kid. And the mother was a very close woman, but the father was like, you know, he was at the racetrack every day. He was running, whatever was open, he was online. And he was like, he was just like a wise guy, like a light, the father, terrible. You know, loud and boisterous and, you know, nice fella. But with Yiddishkeit, nothing. Never didn't daven a word, and it was like. So one time on a Sunday, he came to me. And he said, you know, he only spoke in Yiddish, but how he wants to, that if it's possible for me to learn privately an extra hour Gemara with his Dovidel. So, and you know, he said, whatever it is, I'll give you whatever you ask, and I'll pay with that, but to learn the Dovidel. An extra hour. So I was thinking, I was taken aback, and I said, yeah, so Choshev. So he said to me, listen, I know that you know, you realize that I'm an Oisvav. It's true. I'm Mamish an Oisvav. And it's a busha because my father is such a great person, my grandfather was a big tzaddik, and the chetaki ben an Oisvav, and I hope I'll be zeich to do tshuva. But my dovril, I want my dovril to be a tzaddik. So when I first heard that, so I thought, well, because he's making a mistake. Obviously, we know that kind of an inconsistency in the father is a problem, right? But then I thought about it later on. I said, you know, but that's a madrega. I didn't see that in my chevra when I grew up. Well, I grew up was like not me and not my daughter. You know, it's like there's nothing wrong with it. Like, there's nothing wrong. This is what we do. And we do these things. This is how we live. We have a way of life that's against halacha. See, that Jew grew up with it in the blood that for him to go to a movie or for him to do something that he shouldn't do was like inexcusable and it was horrible. And he knew that. And he felt that even though he was doing it, a taiv, everybody has the same taivas. And he said, I'm doing things that I'm, and it's wrong. And I'm embarrassed with my father and my Rebbe. And he looked up still to his Rebbe. He would tell me, oh, he learned by this tzaddik and he saw this Rebbe. And he was telling me he was by the Satmar and this, you know, all these different things. I didn't have that in my chevra. In my chevra, this is, we grew up like, you know, and this is what we do. There's nothing wrong. There's no hate. And if someone tells me, therefore, that I shouldn't live this way, he's the Rashi, he's the Peshaya. What are you telling me? What do you mean this is wrong? Why is this wrong? So he said, it says in halacha, that doesn't. Shalom, there's a tshuva from Moshe Feinstein says he shouldn't be doing that. Show that to some of your chavarim, and even in the neighborhood, someone says, why does it make a difference what it says? This is what it says. And Afkimini could say this, he could say that. So, this is part of the infection. There's bechlam, nothing wrong. There's no feeling like my Rebbe is a tzaddik, my father's a tzaddik. They're outdated, old-fashioned people, and so is the Beis Yosef, and so is the Ramon, so is Ramon Shafaisin, very nice man. I heard a lot of nice stories about him. You know, very nice. I know he was very nice. He gave candy to children and stuff. He was really nice. And nothing against Rav Feinstein. But come on, you know. Get with it. You know, Michael Jordan is choshev. Michael Jordan is choshev. This is not choshev. And if one of his friends thinks, you know, like let's say he had to tell one of his friends, like a friend called up and said, where do you want to go tonight? You know, I'm going to say, Shabbos, where are we going? And he had to stay home. Like his parents like made him stay home to watch his baby sister. So then he feels he's taka chayti, he's taka noisvav. Oi, I sinned against my friend. The guys went out and I sinned against the chevra. That's who he's worried about. He's only worried about what his friends think. And the friends is a bigger nut than him. And he's only worried about what the friends think. Not what a father thinks of him. He's ready to leave his baby sister. Not what the parents think, not what the Rebbeim think, but only what my friend thinks, what my chava thinks. And even by this, no matter what this kid is doing in his life, but to do something to sin against his chava is, in his eyes, the most grievous thing imaginable, the most horrible sin imaginable, is to sin against the chava. Not against Moshe Rabbeinu, or Moshe Feinstein, but against his buddy. That's an affair. That's what he's saying. Who a tzaddik? Who a tzaddik? He saw his father, his rabbi, he was talking to tzaddik. V'hu a pesheya. And that he saw himself, this guy, like the guy I was telling in the bungalow, he said, I'm the Peshaya. Now my Rebbe was a tzaddik. My career for my father, tzaddikin. I'm doing things that are wrong. But I don't want that for my children. I don't want my kid to be like that. I don't want my kid to be like me. That's what he's telling. I don't want my kid to be like me. I want my kid to be like my Rebbe. And now if a kid comes back and he wants to be like your Rebbe, or like his Rebbe, you're all right. If you have a kid that doesn't want to be exactly like his father, then the father has all kinds of tainus against the Rebbe. What did you do to my kid? What did you do to my kid? I remember when he wanted to be just like me and everything. You know, we used to hang out together. We do all things. Now he doesn't want to go with me to this place. He just wants to sit in the Bismedrius and sit and learn. He wants to be different than me. There's a taina. You won't find that, by the way. With all of the craziness that you could say, it's the same thing with Chassidim, it's the same thing with the Yeshivas. It's true. Taina is everywhere. But you'll never, ever find anywhere by the Chassidim, by anyone, that if a kid decides that he wants to be a tzaddik, that there'll be a taina from a father or a mother. Never, ever. Don't look and see. Never. Not only that, but even the father can be the biggest oisver, God forbid, is doing the craziest things with the bein payas. But all he's proud of in his kid is his learning, his davening, his growing. That's the biggest pride. And with all of this craziness, the father, all he has in life and he lives for is that his child is going the right way. And it's the old way, the grandfather, the great-grandfather. It's true. And you know, those who have been in that belt know that, in that world, know that it's true. Even though he might be doing worse things than the more modern, enlightened fellow down the block. The Chassidus might be doing worse things. Oh, my Dovidl. Right? It's a big difference in the whole way of thinking. And you'll see that there could come out unbelievable Dovidls from that. Even though it's a problem, a big problems. It's the same problems that we have in all the camps nowadays. I'm not saying it's any better. But the hergish, the sensitivity for the past, for the Zaydis and the Babis, and for that way of life, that hasn't changed. I don't believe that's changed at all. It's the same admiration, the same love, and the same respect for all that was. Just that I'm a Baal Taiva. I'm going to be the first to tell you, I'm a Baal Taiva, a Mushchus, a Manuvel, and I'll say it. Not nowadays. Nowadays somebody will say, well, there's a Rambam that I think is maker on this. Like, you know, like something like that. You'll never find from that chevra somebody will say something like that, ever. He'll just say, no, I'm a Rosh, I'm a Pesheya, and I'm a Manuvel. And there's something refreshing about that kind of an honesty. Whereas the more modern way of dealing with it is to say, you know, after all, there is a machlokas, a poskim about this, I've heard. And I saw that Rabbi Katz from such and such place, I saw that he also does that. So there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong. Once you found some rabbi, a Shemesh Shabbos rabbi that does it, then it's Shemesh Mutalach. And you always find some rabbi like that. Probably for every other. So it's Mutalach, then it's permitted. Then everything's permitted. This seems to be a small, subtle thing, but it's not. And I've met up with teenagers that I told you once, I had more than once, but I have one that sticks out in my mind. A teenager that the Skelena Rebbe Zolgozuzai sent to me, that came in like, looked like, you know, from some sort of a 1950s movie, dressed up. And he spoke with such a heavy Yiddish accent, from one of the most kosher families in Monroe. And even when he would talk, the words that were the way that he spoke was about the Heilig of this and the Heilig of that. I don't know what the Heilig of Hashem said, and even the words, the Heilig of Hashem, the Holy Hashem. And he had. Things that that were going on, a lot of anger that had to do with the parents. There were a lot of problems in his family, and in his there were a lot of problems. But if you would say now the Satan Rav, he would jump up, not like nowadays leaning back in class with the head against the back, like this, you know, with a toothpick, and, you know. You see in shul, like you're someone like, you know, oh no, it's very different. That's why you can't, unless you understand that difference, so you just say, they're no better than us. And the Hanami, the same problems. But this infection doesn't go back that far. And there's still a Derech Eretz for rebellion, for Gedolim, for Tzaddikim, that is very hard to find in the more modern camp, which was taught to be more cynical and more critical. And that's part of the way of teaching. It's part of the modern, it's understandable, but that's part of the modern way of studying, of researching, of learning, and so on. So they're more critical of a grandfather, and they're more critical of Rashi. More critical of Rashi. You never would have heard any of our grandfathers say, I hold not like Rashi. Can you imagine? Any of our grandfathers or great-grandfathers would have said, so what, it's not, I don't hold like that. Never, ever. I don't understand what the Heilige Rashi is saying. What's the pshat in the Gemara? But the youth now would say, why does Rashi know any better? Rashi never read my commentary. I have to read his. It's amazing. But that's what Rebbe's talking about. And therefore, even with that child who was rebellious, because children are always rebellious, even with him, so he would be disciplined. He might even have gotten a patch. And he would, and since he acknowledged that his rebellion and the older ones nullify his will before their will, he would try to once again to return to that path. It was a struggle because he knew that they were talking about something great. He knew that the Rebbe and that the parents, there was something great, and he knew that he was going against it, and he would try to work to come back. And slowly but surely he would absorb within himself once again that the Torah of Hashem to be a faithful Jew, a loyal Jew. So not all of them came out to be Bnei Torah, not saying that they all came out to be scholars or what, but God fearing Jews, Avdei Hashem, kept mitzvahs and brought up the children to keep mitzvahs. Lo kein ata. That is not the case nowadays. With a sense of independence, an ego of the child begins to take form and shape long before its time, way before its time. V'imo gam ha'gishosav shi'ifosav ashkifosav ba'odan ba'yisar boim is galos. And together with this sense of self and this strong ego and independence, feelings and aspirations and hashkafis, ideas, ba'odan ba'yisar that are still poisonous. He's totally unripened. He's unripe. He's not ready for this stuff. Bomas galos begin to become revealed within him. And because of this, an alienation, a feeling of alienation, and this feeling of hostility towards his between the children and the parents begins to develop. Because my parents are the ones who are stopping me from being me. I know who I am. I know what I want. They don't know me. They don't know what I want. They don't know what's good for me. The Rebbeim don't know. I know. Or my friend knows. Joey, whatever, he knows. My parents don't know. My Rebbeim don't know. So he begins to resent. The parents are telling me what to do, and it's totally foreign. B'nei Doreinu. Shahoyu mukhsham liyas Yehudim nemanim yotzuveinam. The Rebbe's crying. These children, these Jews, these kids, who were prepared, who should have become loyal and faithful Jews, yotzuveinam, they're gone. they're gone. Now there's only a small percentage of Jews are observant. It used to be. The vast majority of Jews in the world were shomer mitzvahs. Nehepchu aleinu la'ayvim. Not only that, that they're gone, they've become enemies of the old school. Sochakim, they mock, they ridicule. U'mecharkim shein. That's scorning and mocking. Aleinu v'alam u'nesenu. They make fun of us, and they make fun of how we dress and what we talk about and so on. They make fun. V'zos ra'a shloim ha'melech b'chachm z'ashem eshabo me'ro. Shlomo Melech saw this a long time ago. V'hizalon, and he warned us. Chanoch lanar al pi darko. You have to educate, prepare the child according to his nature. So instead of just saying, boy, that used to be so different when we were kids, stop saying that and acknowledge that the kids nowadays are different, and they are, and the Rebbe is saying they are, and deal with that in the way that we're going to talk about in this entire Sefer. Stop saying, ah, you can't believe it, it's so different. You know, we were like you. So stop lecturing and telling the kid how he's so different, he's so weird. Acknowledge and recognize that there is a difference, and as a result of that, strengthen your way of teaching the child al pi darko in accordance to the new nature of that we see in the children. Instead of just talking all the time about it used to be good. Lo bitzivui bilvad, you can't get away anymore just commanding. Because all the kid sees is some foreign dictator telling him to do something. He doesn't feel any connection to what you're saying. She's just telling him, do this, do that, and he feels no shaykhus to it. Lo bitzivu bilvad, rak b'chinuch. You can't get away nowadays without being a mechanech. Every parent and every rabbi has to be a mechanech. V'chinuch al pidakos shekol echad v'echad. And it has to be a chinuch, which is a chinuch al pidarko, in accordance to the nature and the personality of each child, of each student. Kila el, a page you test, kila el di banu shakol nefesh yelid Yisrael, oitza shel kedushahi. Because we learned that the truth is that the soul of every Jewish child is mamish a treasury of holiness. But you have to know how to work with it. You have to know how to bring out that Kedusha. And in this matter as well. Hey, Nam, is this true? It's true. We have a major problem on our hands. Because the Jewish children nowadays are no different in that respect than the children of the non-Jews of the secular world. This feeling of gaiva, of conceit, and of ego, and of independence, it's with our kids also. But that's not the essence of a Jewish child. Because even the personality is the personality of a Jewish child. It's not, God forbid, the personality of a guy. It's the personality of a Jew, of a Yid. So therefore, the Rebbe says, we must quickly bend down and listen, and to pay attention. There's a Jewish child. You can't teach him up. You can't define him the same way you define a kid from the street. You can't, just because he's doing something that's bad, or he's acting a certain way, and he carries himself a certain way, you can't make conclusions about him that he's the same as, God forbid, as the child from the neighborhood. It can't be. He's a Jewish child. So we have to take hold of this personality. He's a Jew. And to bring out that holiness, before he becomes our enemy, while he's still on our side. If Moshe Rabbeinu, call on Nevi'im, and all of the Nevi'im, the prophets, and all the tzaddikim over the generations, Hirkinu as Atzman. Migodum Adregit Sirkosim, if they were prepared to lean, to bend down from their exalted levels. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't run away. The Baal Shem Tov didn't run away from other people, from simple Jews. These tzaddikim, these neviim, they were always bent over to us to understand us, to try to hear. Even they were worried about the most basic, simple physical needs of every Jew. Even the Moshe Rabbeinu, what's his cheshem to worry about, whether they're going to eat, what they're going to drink. Moshe Rabbeinu was in a world way beyond where all the angels were. And the Moshe Rabbeinu's worry was about what are we going to eat, what are we going to drink, what's going to be, what's going to be with the Jews. The most basic needs were so much his concern. Are we not sinning if we ignore the children and if we don't bend down to their personalities, to their new way of thinking, of living? To each one, to try to educate the child when we still can get to the kid. When he's standing by the crossroads, where he's going to soon make the decision whether he wants to be a faithful servant of Hashem, or God forbid, a peshei Yisrael, a sinner of Israel. We must bend down. We must lean towards Him. This was at the time where the Rebbe was saying this. This is like something which was new, even though it's all the Svarim. All the Svarim. When Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, "Lech raid min ahar, kishich is amcha." Pash kisisi, remember? So Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, "Go down. Your people have messed up." So Rashi chazal, "Lech raid migdoloscha." Forget about the angels right now. You better have a shmooze with them. You better have a schmooze with them. And our terminology would be, maybe you better get a basketball and have a little bit, maybe play a little ball with the chavra. Maybe play a little bit of ball with them. Try to get into them a little bit. Talk on their level. Yeah, not on their level. It doesn't mean to lower yourself, but it means, he says, "Ludabek Hilshono." Speak in the language that they understand, in a language that they can hear. Kimat l'sapich azli yelid. Listen to the words. Kimat, it's necessary. Almost kimat l'sapich azli yelid. To become a child yourself. Kimat. And at the same time, there has to be a first respect, but kimat l'sapich azli yelid. My father couldn't believe when I told him, when I started teaching years ago, I told him that every Friday we had a stickball game with the guys in the back. We had, the stickball is a Gewaltiger game. But you have to have the right conditions. So, the right wall, and it's gotta be a good place. So I told my father I played. So my father said, You play with the boys or your friends? I said, "No, the boys from the class." He couldn't even, what? I feel like you could never heard such a thing. He says, "Why?" So first I said, I like stickball. And I can't always find out, like one thing in school, you always have a game. You can always have a game. But you can go looking, it's embarrassing. You're getting older, you're going to call up your friends. You want to play stickball? It's silly already, So like this thing, you always have a chevra, right away you have it. And that's number one. Number two is, the old school didn't, they just don't have. But that's part of listening to a child nowadays. That's what it demands. Kimad l'sapech hazli yelid, almost to become a child. Or like the story from Rabbi Nachman we spoke about, to become a turkey, right? To go under the table to become a turkey. Rabbi Nachman's story, the marshal. But to go down to the child without compromising halacha. It doesn't mean to compromise with your Yiddishkeit, not compromising, but to talk kilashona. L'dabri imo kedaita u keerka. And to speak with him according to his understanding, ukeerko, and his system of values or his level where he's holding. Now that's what the whole sefer is about, how to do that. But you'll see after he speaks to the children, it's unbelievable. His hakdama to the children, and then the whole sefer, and then it continues afterwards with hachshavos of reichim, and so on. So we'll, in Mitzvah Shem, continue. We'll continue next Erev Shabbos. Shkoyach.